Welcome to the Rivers of Living Waters broadcast, and Merry Christmas! It's the time of year where we celebrate the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We celebrate by giving gifts, and do you know that Jesus himself gave us so many wonderful gifts because he chose to be born as a baby? Listen as our pastor explains.
And so we're on a little series on the gifts of Christmas. And today I want to talk to you about four prepositions. The four prepositions of Christmas, all of them have to do with his love. And you'll find them in Colossians chapter number 1. The book of Colossians in the New Testament, chapter number 1. And we're going to read verse 14 through 19. The Bible says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature." Our text is verse 16. "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he," this is Christ, "might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him," in Jesus, "should all the fullness dwell." Then skip down to verse 27. "To whom God would also make known what is the riches and the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Notice four prepositions. In verse number 16, we see the word "by," for by him. In the latter part of verse 16, we see the preposition "and for him." And then if you go down to verse 27, it talks about God with us, and the last part is Christ in you. So we see by, for, with, and in. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the Word of God. It's Christmas time. It's my favorite time of the year. I love Christmas. I love decorations. I love going to McAddenville, Christmas City. I love hot chocolate. I love peppermint. I love gathering with the family. I love the smile on children's face. And yes, it's a sin. I know you're going to hate me forever. But I love talking about Santa Claus. But I love everything about of Christmas. You know why? Because Christmas says Christ Mass. And if you put those two words together, Christ and the word Mass in Latin means more. The more we talk about Christ, the more we talk about Jesus, everything we sing and everything we do at Christmas should point us to the Lord Jesus Christ. The carols we sing, we just got through trying to sing, those carols we only sing once a year, they point to his majesty. "Joy to the world! The Lord has come. Let earth receive her king." The family gatherings remind us of the journey that Mary and Joseph went to have Jesus in the town of Bethlehem. And your family are coming from everywhere, or going from everywhere, to and fro, so that they might remember the joy of Christmas. And as we do, we remind ourselves that Jesus, on his birth, had to make a long journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem so that he could be born there. The trees we decorate, looks like a forest in here of Christmas trees. The trees we decorate remind us of his evergreen life, that he lives forever, and how he has decorated our lives with bright glowing lights and ornaments of his grace, his mercy, all the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. The trees remind us of Christ. The gifts we get remind us of the gifts that he got. Of gold and frankincense and myrrh, and more importantly, the gift that he gives of eternal life. Christmas is all about Jesus. Last week we talked about the gifts of Christmas, and one of the gifts that he gives is the gift of hope. Hope is given at Christmas. We have the hope of healing and health. We have the hope of opulent opportunities. We have the hope of the pathway to peace. Somebody say amen right there. And we have the hope of eternal, extravagant life. But today I want to talk to you about another gift that is given to us at Christmas, and we read about it here in Colossians chapter 1, and that is the gift of love. The gift of love. Christmas is all about God's love. Love came down from heaven to us. Love left the glory for the gory. He left the glories of heaven for the gory of earth. Love became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Love reaches down to touch us where we are, and it brings us to where He is. Amen? So today, let's examine this gift of love that we see manifested here in Colossians chapter 1. And I see a progression of love. In other words, love started way back yonder. Christmas didn't start on what we traditionally call Christmas. By the way, Jesus was not really born on December 25th. We celebrate December 25th as a day that He was born, but probably He was born much earlier in the year. But nonetheless, we celebrate this day as a Christ Mass, a day of His coming so we can make more of Him. But it didn't start there. It didn't start in Bethlehem. Christmas actually started in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, because it was the creation of the world that was the reason for Christmas. And notice in verse 16 of Colossians, it says, "For by Him were all things created." Notice it says, "And all things were created by Him." So the first prepositional word we see there is the word "by." And it reminds us of His creation. Do you know, if you don't believe in creation, you hardly can believe in Christmas? If you have been taught evolution in public school, and as I was, I went to public school, and we had a big debate. I got saved in the 7th grade. In 8th grade, they allowed us to have on stage, all the school came in, and we had, on one side I had a panel of scientists, on the other side I had a panel of preachers, and I was the moderator, and we debated evolution versus creation. I think we proved our point. God created us. We did not evolve from monkeys. Your grandfather was not a gorilla. Amen? God made you in His image. And God made the world in 6 literal days of creation. We have a very early earth. Our earth is only about 7,000 to 8,000 years old. It is not millions and millions and millions of years of age. That's scientific baloney. All things were made by Him, the Bible said. Who is the Him? Him is Jesus. Jesus was the original creator of the world. He designed it all. It was His, and He designed it as a gift for mankind. So Christmas really started before there was an Adam and Eve. Christmas actually started when He flung the stars in space. Christmas actually started when He took a ball of dirt, if you will, and formed it into this sphere we call the earth. Creation by Him was the first act of love that He did for mankind. See, Paul tells us that all things were made by Him. The invisible, the visible, all the dominions, all the kings, all the queens, all the thrones, all powers, demonic and Christian, all were made by Him. He even created the devil. He created the devil so that you and I could have the choice of whether we wanted to serve righteousness in God, or whether we wanted to serve Diablo. He created the evil, the Bible said, for His purposes. All this was a creation, and our extravagant Father created the entire earth as a gift to us. Everything belongs to Jesus, and then He gave us as humans dominion over all the earth. He gave us this earth as His first Christmas gift. Think about that. That's the reason you see so much grandeur in creation. We've been watching a dumb TV series on TV, and it's situated in Colorado, and the Rocky Mountains are the background. And as we're watching this show, I looked at my wife last night, and I said, you know, I think I want to go to Colorado. It is so beautiful. I want to go see those Rocky Mountains with all the white peaks, and I've been to Colorado, but it wasn't snowing then. But I'd like to go back and see that. You know why? Because my Father made that for me. That's a Christmas gift for me. We're going in January to places, beaches we've never been before. God has given us a gift of a cruise, and we're going to go to St. Bart's and St. Kitts and the Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico, and I'm excited. You know why? Because my wife's going to lay out on the beach, and I'm going to get to walk on the sand, and we're going to have a good time. I love it. And everywhere you go, I love the gardens. I love the mountains. I love the beach. You know why? Because it's a gift that God gave us. Our extravagant Father gave us this awesome earth as the first creative act and the first gift of love from Jesus. Jesus made it for us, and He wants us to enjoy it. Creation is a gift of extravagant love. The triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, work together in concert to design all that you see around you. It was no such thing as Mother Nature. It was God Himself, Jesus, the Creator of the world. Can I hear an amen? He designed all things. You know what? He also designed you and I. You are fearfully, the Bible said, and wonderfully made. Do you know that God so much loves every human? I don't care if you're listening to me in a hut in Africa, or if you're listening to me in a flat in London, England, or if you're listening in New York City. Every single human being has one thing in common. We have DNA. And in our DNA, in verse number 17, it says, "And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." All things are held together. He didn't just design your body, but He put within your body that glue that holds you together. Let me read you something. It's called laminin. L-A-M-I-N-I-N. Laminin. And that laminin is the protein that holds all your cells and all your tissues together. It's the Elmer's glue of your body. Your DNA, your whole body's joined together by laminin. When you look at it through a microscope, and I wish I had a projector so I could show you. I have a picture of it here. But it looks like a cross. It's in the form of a cross. And so all your cells are held together. That's what the Bible said. And are consistent together with laminin, which is in the form of a cross. God so loved you and God so loved me that He put in our bodies thousands of crosses to remind us that it's Him and He alone that is our Creator and He alone that holds us together. Jesus, the Creator, didn't just walk away from creation. One of the compromises that scientists try to make is what they call the higher intelligence. They don't want to admit that there was a creation, so they'll say that God or some form, they don't even call Him God, a higher intelligence designed or gave the blueprint for the earth, and it evolved in within that blueprint, but that creator walked away. He has nothing to do with creation today. May I tell you, there's a Greek word for that, hogwash. That's hogwash. Not only did He create the world as an act of love, but then the Bible said all things are held together, including your body. All things are held together, consist by Him. He is not just the creator, but He's also the sustainer of the world. He oversees it. He looks at it. Now think about this. Jesus didn't just make the world and walk away from it. His love for mankind is so strong that He actually holds it all together, and He oversees it every day. And then those of us that are born again, He puts a piece of Him inside of us called the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is present on this earth to hold back evil and to give us reins, if you will, of our moral compass, and also to give us light to show others how to get to the Creator. God loves us. And God put all this together. But not only did He consist and hold together mankind, but all of creation. Think about this. The whole world is made up of what we call atoms. Our body's made up of cells. The cells are made up of atoms. But every living thing has microscopic building blocks called atoms. Those atoms make up people. Those atoms make up animals and plants and clouds and mountains and stars and buildings and wood and steel. Even the food you eat is made up of atoms. And everything is kind of like a giant Lego. And everything's building blocks are put together, and those Lego blocks are the atoms that God created. You say, why are you spending so much time talking about that? Because He's the Creator, and He made it this way. Now, those atoms are made up of a nucleus in the middle, and then around that nucleus, you got going this way, protons going this way, electrons going this way, neutrons, and listen to this, they're going so fast that they're speeding at the speed of light, and these protons, neutrons, and electrons are spinning around this nucleus so fast that they can cross the entire globe in 18 seconds. That's how fast these things are going. Around these atoms. I didn't say Adam, I said atoms. Now listen. It's a whirl of activity. And they're going so fast, super fast. And every one of those cells is a ball of atomic energy. When Albert Einstein found out how to split the atom, all he did was found a way to stop the neutron from going and the electron from not missing each other and cause them to collide. That's the reason it's called a collider. And whenever one atom collided with another atom, you have an atomic bomb that destroyed Hiroshima and Nagasaki in World War II, right? And in your body, there are trillions and trillions of nuclear bombs. What would happen if one of those atoms was to go astray? If one of those electrons was to hit the other one, you would explode and life as we know it would cease to exist. Why don't they? It's been thousands of years since the world was created, and yet we've not had one natural nuclear explosion. Why? If there's gabillions and trillions and gazillions of atoms, and all those are messing up, and one atom split caused an atomic bomb, you know why? Because we have a creator that loves us so much that he consistently holds us together, and he holds all of creation together and refuses to let any of those particles collide. That is an amazing gift of love. Can I hear an amen? He holds it all together. The master creator of all the earth oversees it all the time. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He is the creator, and by him all things were made. And by him all things were made. They weren't evolved. They weren't developed. They were made by the creator. And the creator loves us so much that he made us in his image. And he loves us so much that he holds everything together. The creator also designed places for man to live in. The original Garden of Eden was designated to be the first home of the ultimate creation of God, which is mankind. God did make horses, and God did make hippopotamuses, and God did make orangutans, and God did make all the birds and the animals and the sea life. But all that was for our enjoyment and pleasure. He made man in his own image. And you are the ultimate, the masterpiece of the Creator God. And he placed the original man, Adam, and the original woman, Eve, into a perfect place. And perfection was created. And perfection put the perfect image of the perfect God in the perfect environment with the perfect air quality. We had perfect food and perfect health. And everything that our great-great-grandfather, Mother Eve, and Father Adam had was absolutely perfect. And that was the gift of God. Yet in that perfect place, God placed Adam, the first man and the first woman. And then he made them to need each other to be complete. Adam was half a man and Eve was half a person until they joined together as one, the Bible calls it, and the two become one. And woman is known as the completer of man. That's the reason the Bible said it's not good for man to be alone. You need a companion, and God wants you to have a spouse. And one without the other was lacking. One without the other could not accomplish God's perfect plan. God created this beautiful world, the first gift of love. He put the first man and woman in there. Why? Because he wanted a family. God wanted a family. You see, he had birds that tweet and praise him out of instinct. He has dogs that bark and praise him out of instinct. They don't have a choice. They do what they're created to do. But God wanted somebody that looked like him to choose to worship him, to choose to praise him. God wanted to fellowship with somebody that wasn't quite as capable as he was, but yet had the ability to make decisions, to logically think things through, to communicate verbally, and to walk with him in the cool of the garden. So he made a woman and he made a man. And then he told that man and woman, now you make more men and women. And you populate this earth that I've given to you, all with the intention that he would have a family. But as you know, I told you already, through the act of marital love, they could produce a family. And a family would be created to bring glory to the Creator Himself as family members. And God's perfect gift of love was seen that He gave us this perfect place to live in. But as you know, He also created the devil. And He created the devil for the purpose of giving us a choice. We are not robots. We don't serve God because we have to. We serve God because we want to. And He wanted us to love Him. And so He created the devil to give us a choice. And sadly, Eve messed up. She was tricked. And she messed up and created the original sin. And then Adam chose to sin. And at that moment, God said, I got to do something about it. Now I have these people. They have this nature, but I want to love them back to me. He said that He made us, and He had a way then for us to get back to Him and get away from sin. So we see the progression of God's love. We take it to the next level, not just that He was the distant Creator, but also notice in love is demonstrated by giving us a divine purpose. Notice it says in verse 16, and He created all things are made by Him. Everybody say by Him. But then it says, and for Him. For Him. See, God created us and the world for Him. You are not here by accident. You are not, as scientists would want you to believe, some sort of growth. That's what the word fetus means, by the way. I don't like to call babies fetuses because they're not. They're living beings. So, amen. They're not a tumor. The word fetus, if you look it up in the original medical meaning, means a tumor, a growth. You're not a growth. You're not a tumor. You're a baby. You were created in the image of God. And why were you created? You were created by Him and for Him. He made you for His glory. You were incarnated. The Word became flesh. You were just like, I don't say happy birthday. I say happy incarnation day. You are a spirit in the spirit world. And when your time on earth has come, God will bring you as a spirit into a human body, incarnate you in flesh, and allow you then to be a shining light for His glory. You came to earth at the particular time you were born, and you have a purpose on this earth to know God and to glorify Him. See, He made us by Him, but He made us for Him, for His glory, to serve Him, to receive His gift of love, to share His love with others, to show the light of hope to those who have no hope. We were created for Him to be a giver rather than just a receiver. The Westminster Catechism says that man's chief goal is to know God and to glorify Him. You were created for His purpose. This gift of love progresses from just a distant, authoritative creator to a benevolent master who lovingly places each of us in His creation. And He gave you a special gifting and a special calling, a particular plan, and a divine purpose. You are so loved that He brought you here, not just by Him, but for Him, for His glory. But then love progresses from not just by Him, Creator, and for Him, for His glory, but then it says that we were created at this time. It changes. At Christmas, He changes the rule book. He changes the course of history. It was for Him, by Him. Now it is God with Him. We can walk with Him. The word Emmanuel means God with us. Love progresses to by Him, to for Him, but at Christmas, love progresses to with Him. Or better yet, He with us. John chapter 1, verse 14 said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Creator of all things became like one of His created beings so that He could lead us into Godhead with Him. God's purpose is that you would become a Christian. The word Christian, Daryl, means little Jesus, little Christ. God wants you to become like Him. And you can only become like Him because Emmanuel became like us. We were created by Him. We were created for Him. But now he took on the form of human flesh, and he walked with us, and he can be with us now. God wrapped himself in human flesh. God wrapped himself in flesh and walked among us. Jesus lived among us. Jesus loved among us. The Creator stepped out of the heavens zillions of miles away, and he came down at Christmas to the dark, moist womb of a teenage virgin. The Almighty became veiled in flesh. The Creator was conceived and grew inside of a woman for 9 months during the birthing process. God so loved us so much that he limited himself from omniscience, omnipresence, all-where present at all times, and he sealed himself into the embryo of birth. And for 9 months, he who flung the stars into the black velvet space now inhabited the dark amniotic sac of a peasant girl. But then comes Christmas. And the darkness that he had enveloped himself in for 9 months was broken. The water broke, the baby came out, and there in human form was Emmanuel. With us. Not by, not for, but with. And Christ was born. He was born in a manure-filled cave. The maternity ward was tended only by an adolescent husband named Joseph. It was not sterile. Can you get this? Joseph cut the umbilical cord of Jesus. Think about it. Emmanuel, God with us. God came to a weary, travel-worn, rejected teenage couple who were leaving because of a tax problem and didn't get to return home because of the shame and guilt that people tried to place on them when Mary said, "I am a virgin having a baby." Can you imagine the shame she had as this young teenage girl somewhere, maybe as young as 13, 14, 15, we don't know her exact age, but we know she was a young teenage girl, and she was pregnant when she was engaged to a man, never knew the man Joseph. We don't know how old he was. He was probably a 16, 17, 18-year-old boy. And in their little community, their little gossiping women talked about Mary and how she must have had sex before marriage, which was the cardinal sin, which, by the way, she could have been stoned for. And so they fled at the behoots of Caesar Augustus to be taxed, but then they never came back for years because they did not want the shame to follow them, and God had prepared a dwelling for them. Now born in this stable, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lay the God of creation in the form of a 9-pound baby boy. We don't know how much he weighed. And he was placed in a feeding trough. Now next Sunday we'll have a manger scene set up here. And there'll be horses and cows and pigs around her, whatever it is. It won't be pigs because they didn't have Jewish. Jews wouldn't have pigs. There'll be some animals, sheep and whatever around the manger scene. And it'll be nice and pretty and it'll look good. But that wasn't the scene where Jesus was born. God with us, he came to a stinking cave. It wasn't even a grotto, as you see. It was a cave. And it was hay and you know all the things that happen in a barn. That's where Jesus was born.
We hope you enjoyed today's edition of the Rivers of Living Waters broadcast, brought to you by the Making a Difference Network. We would love to hear how God is using this ministry in your life. Please write to us at Living Waters Broadcast, 911 Treasure Place Southwest, Concord, North Carolina, 28055, U.S. of A. Or email us at maddenworldwide@gmail.com. Again, that's maddenworldwide@gmail.com. Or visit our website, maddenworldwide.com, for more information. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you join us again on Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern as we continue this study of the Word of God. Until then, we'll be praying for you and your family that together we can make a difference around the corner and around the world.